Hey, we're back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, along with Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. As we promised you earlier, we're going to head out to L.A. It's bright and early out there, so we thank Tyler Kepner from the New York Times for joining us. Tyler is covering the All-Star festivities out there. He also was the beat writer for the New York Times, covering the Yankees back in the heyday of Derek Jeter. Now, I understand he has not seen part one of the documentary yet, but certainly he's got some great insights on Derek Jeter. Tyler, thanks for joining us, and thanks for fitting us into the schedule today. I know it's pretty crazy. You're doing a lot of things around the All-Star coverage.
Yeah, no problem. They keep us pretty busy out here. We have the Futures game Saturday, and then the draft, and the Home Run Derby, and then today the game. So, it's a baseball blitz out here in L.A.
So, Tyler, first, you mentioned the draft. What did you think of Kumar Rocker and that story going third the other day?
Well, it was pretty cool. I mean, you know, the idea that he could be with his old teammate Jack Leiter in the same organization. I mean, that's really neat. And he improved his his cut by several million, I think, going from the 10th spot where the Mets took him to the 3rd spot where Texas took him. I know that's not how he wanted it to play out, but after a year in sort of purgatory, he's got a nice little bonus for it. So good for him.
Good for him, indeed. Great guy, for sure. Hopefully it works out for him and Jack Leiter. Tyler, let me ask you about the Home Run Derby last night, because I watched it a lot. My son's really into it. His teammates were out here for a travel ball tournament here, so they were buzzing about who was going to win. The Julio Rodriguez story was great last night. Albert Pujols showed up pretty well for age 42. That was kind of fun. But Derek and I both kind of have the same notion. I do think it drags on a little long. I'd love for them to cut off somewhere, 45 minutes or so if they can. But just give me your thoughts, because you're there.
Yeah, I've seen a few iterations of it. I think the current rules are the best ones I've seen. I mean, they redid it around 15 or so when it was in Cincinnati, and they had, I think it was Todd Frazier and Jock Peterson that year, and it's been pretty exciting ever since. I think it's a good event. I mean, obviously I don't watch it on TV, but when you're there, it seems like the players really, really enjoy it and really get into it. And there's all, you'd always want, it's kind of like the dunk contest, right? You'd always want all the big guys to participate. Aaron Judge and Stanton and whatnot. But, they won it when they were young players, and now they kind of cede the stage to current young players like Juan Soto, who won it, and Julio Rodriguez. And that's probably the way it's supposed to be. You have Pete Alonso, who loves it and is more enthusiastic about it than anybody I've ever seen, which is great. And he got knocked off last night by Rodriguez. So that was kind of fun, to see a fine, the last three guys standing. Were Albert Pujols, who was sort of there ceremonially, but obviously has almost 700 homers, and that was cool. And he's almost as old as Julio Rodriguez and Juan Soto combined. So that was it was neat. It was fun.
For Soto winning it on the heels of the huge news that, of course, was Scott Boras' agent, you can't be surprised. But I understand his position in where the Nationals are with the team being for sale, him wanting to kind of be honest with them. He didn't intend it for it to be public yet, but moving forward, what do you think is the next move? How busy will people be to try to make a move for him now, as opposed to say the off season or next year?
Well, it's interesting. I just wrote about that. It's just a matter of perception, right? I mean, from the Nationals, they can say, hey, look, we offered him the largest single contract in baseball history. What more can we do? And from Soto's standpoint, he could say, well, but it's nowhere close to the largest average annual value. And at his age, 23, and with his talent, he leads the majors in OPS the last 5 years, he could reasonably expect a higher average annual value. I mean, it's really crazy dollars, but when you're in that market and when you're such a commodity and you're as good as Soto is, that's the kind of consideration you have to take. So I understand him turning it down, even though I would eagerly take it. But I'm not Juan Soto, and there's only one Juan Soto, and he, you know, I don't know if you'd want to be tied to the Nationals really at this point. With the ownership changing soon and the way the team has fallen on hard times. But boy, will it be fascinating if they trade him, because his value with this year plus two more is just extraordinary. So that's going to be a really interesting subplot here until the trade deadline.
We'll talk with Kyle Kepner. Baseball columnist, New York Times. I'm sorry about that. My Zoom is
you got a little feedback here. I got to turn down the mute button.
There we go. I'm sorry about that, Tyler.
You had to think and talk at the same
exactly.
time. Exactly.
Tyler, I know you didn't get a chance to see the first installment of The Captain with Derek Jeter, but you've covered that team while Derek Jeter was on it. What were some of your fondest memories of Derek Jeter and covering that team?
Wow. Well, yeah, I covered him for 8 years as a beat writer, and then beyond that as a columnist. And I've never met anybody in my life who's more self-assured and secure than Derek Jeter. He's the most he is the most comfortable with who he is, and self-confident sort of person that I know. He knows, he understands the game, of course. He knows he's going to fail, but he never thinks he will. And he has an amazing ability to just, restart the next day, no matter what it is. And he's, I guess, an extremely smart and very serious. And he plans out everything with precision and then follows it with real discipline. I mean, like, and just in the way he would deal with the writers, I mean, some people would sort of miss the point, and they would say, like, oh, he doesn't say anything interesting. It's like, well, he can say interesting things, but because he's very smart and has those insights. But what he does is he does it on his terms. He would always be available for us to talk to, and there was always real value in having the captain of the Yankees in your story and knowing you could get him. But he was never going to say anything that he didn't want to say. I interviewing Jeter over all those years, again, he was always around, but it was like he was taking at bats, and if he didn't like a pitch, he would just foul it off. You know, if he didn't like a question, he would just foul it off. He would just answer it in his way and maybe not say anything of substance. But, you know, if you asked him a direct question, you know, baseball-wise, he'd usually give you something interesting because he had such a good sense of what was going on. So it was very interesting to see somebody so so disciplined in how he dealt with fame. And that really, really helped all of us, honestly, because we could always, like I said, we could always get the captain in our story, and he could always, he would never let anybody say, oh, Jeter blew me off, or, you know, Jeter's a jerk, or Jeter wouldn't talk to me. We could never have that on him. So he always wanted to win every single interaction, whether it was on the field, in the clubhouse, everywhere. And he very often did.
Now, Tyler, do you think that that is what separated him from some of the other greats in other sports, that he was more accessible than they were? He was more willing to give you an honest answer and just sort of move on past it. He wasn't the guy that, you know, if things went bad, he kind of tried to skirt the questions or duck away. He stood in there and he answered the questions, and he gave you the answers that he felt was truthful.
He did, and because of that, because he would tell you, like I said, what he wanted to say, but by always being available and by always looking everybody in the eye when the session was winding down and saying, you got what you need? We good? He kind of blunted much of the criticism, because no one was left being resentful disappointed or with him, because he wouldn't talk to them. You know, no one was left saying, boy, I'm going to, even subconsciously, going to give him more negative coverage because, because I'm upset he didn't talk to me. He was always there, and he was always polite. And so even if he didn't cause any controversy or say stuff that was going to make headlines, you could never be upset about it because he always answered your questions and was always really polite about it. So I think that contributed to a much easier way of navigating New York than it is for most people, because he came in as a winner. He won as a rookie and then won consistently. I mean, he won four championships his first 5 years. So he had that sort of championship glow. And then he got great press because, honestly, he deserved it because he treated everybody well. And he was a Hall of Fame player.
Tyler Kepner with us from the New York Times. So, Tyler, there are those that see everything that you're saying, that presence, handling the New York media, being the leader of a great team, and that made his value well beyond even what he did on the field. But then there's another group that just look at the numbers and say, well, he's overrated because of all that other stuff with New York. But so in your opinion, was he overrated as a player?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, there's only five people in the history of the world who had more hits than Derek Jeter. I mean, he's sixth all-time in hits. So I don't care if he got it for the Marlins or the Pirates or the Royals or the Yankees. If you're sixth all-time in hits in the history of baseball, it's hard to be overrated. And beyond that, he did it at a position where, you know, even in the age of A-Rod and Tejada and Nomar and all those guys, it's still not the most offensive position. He did it at a premium defensive spot. Maybe his defense was a little overrated, but I don't know. The Yankees won all the time, so it wasn't like it hurt them that much. He made all the routine plays. He knew where to be. So I think he doesn't have anything to apologize for. I mean, even the advanced metrics, sometimes you'll get a little bit war, and it wins above replacement, and a guy will be much less than you thought. And I mean, I wonder why. Maybe he was overrated. Well, Jeter's war is really high. It's in line with all the Hall of Famers. So I've never really bought that argument, because all you got to do is look at the cumulative stats. And sure, he had more opportunities in October, but he was basically the same player in October over 158 postseason games as he was in any regular season. He was just remarkably consistent over time. And, sixth all-time in hits. I think that says it all.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. It's pretty interesting how that comes up from time to time. I'm sure that argument will be made again while this documentary is going. Tyler, I know you got to run. You got a lot going on today. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the All-Star game tonight. Great catching up with you. And, of course, good luck to your squad in our simulation league, which the playoffs get started tomorrow, which nobody cares about except for the two of us and about 12 other people.
Yeah, Andrew Marinus is a Nashville guy. He's a great author and I'm sure a friend of the program, but he's going down.
It's Tyler versus Andrew in round one of the playoffs. That is coming up as well. And I'm taking on Mark Bechtel from Sports Illustrated in the other playoffs. So that's in a whole nother world. Derek, you have no idea what we're talking about, but that's okay. Don't worry about it, because we'll just have to move on. Tyler, we'll talk to you again here very soon.
All right, thanks, fellas.
Yep.
All right, good stuff. Tyler Kepner from the New York Times. Great perspective there on Derek Jeter and the All-Star game, of course, coming up tonight in L.A. Stay tuned. We're coming back. We'll hear from Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head football coach. He just got done talking to the media down in Atlanta at SEC Media Day. Stay tuned. We're coming back, and let me start it by telling you about Loan Pronto. And, of course, they've got some great stuff going on over the summer. Your home's value is way up again. And so you have access to a lot of money. If you need it, you don't have to let it just sit there. You can use it. Loan Pronto can help you with it. It's the equity line of credit program. You don't have to refinance, but you can access a high percentage, up to 97% if you want, of your home's value. So you can get cash out now if you have big bills to pay. And listen, economically, there's inflation going on right now. So if you got credit card bills that are piling up, you can use that cash now. Pay off the credit card. Do a home improvement project if you want. Pay off the car loan, whatever you might need to do. Get a down payment on a new home. You can get $50,000, even $100,000 or more, and use that payments to your advantage. So don't let all that home equity pile up. Use Loan Pronto to turn your house into an ATM and get the cash you need. Loan pronto, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. That's 615-499-5780. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.